Usually when we talk about a software update, there's this expectation of just invisible improvement.
Right, it just kind of happens in the background.
Yeah, exactly. It's like your phone updating overnight while you sleep. The icons might look a fraction of a percent sharper the next day, or maybe your camera opens a millisecond faster, but fundamentally you're holding the exact same machine.
Yeah, it's essentially cosmetic, like a fresh coat of paint or, some tightening of the screws behind the drywall while the actual foundation stays totally untouched.
But then you look at what happened in artificial intelligence last week, and I mean, that expectation goes completely out the window.
Oh,
It
absolutely.
wasn't a patch. It feels more like someone swapped out the central electrical grid of the internet while the lights were still on. And now the entire building is capable of, well, talking back to us. So, welcome to today's deep dive. It is Thursday, May 14th, 2026.
Glad to be here.
And our mission today is to unpack a monumental, genuinely disruptive cascade of releases that OpenAI shipped between May 5th and May 8th. Because for anyone building software, or really anyone using it, the fundamental rules of the road just changed.
Yeah, the ground beneath the development industry shifted significantly in the span of what, about 96 hours? We're looking at a transition where voice AI has officially moved from a somewhat clunky novelty parlor trick on your smartphone into viable, production-ready infrastructure.
And to help us navigate the sheer volume of what just dropped, we are relying on a highly detailed architectural breakdown published by Technugean. They're a software development firm based out of Orange County, and they specialize in building AI-powered SaaS applications.
Right, so they are really on the front lines doing the actual plumbing to integrate these systems into real businesses.
Exactly. And for you listening right now, even if you never write a single line of code, this shift is coming for you. The customer service portals you interact with, the medical scheduling lines you call, the financial apps you use every single day, they are all about to become incredibly perceptive, incredibly fast, and very vocal.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's crucial to understand the foundational upgrade that makes all of this possible. OpenAI rolled out GPT 5.5 Instant, which fundamentally replaced the previous 5.3 version as the default model inside ChatGPT.
And more importantly, across their developer API, right?
Exactly. And they also introduced a heavier Pro variant for complex reasoning alongside a highly specialized model called GPT 5.5 Cyber.
Right, the cyber one.
Yeah, tailored specifically for security workflows like vulnerability analysis.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second, starting with that default API shift, because this is where I see a massive structural problem for developers. If I build an app, I connect it to OpenAI servers using a configuration called ChatLatest. It's basically an automated pipeline that just pulls whatever the smartest, newest model is at any given second.
Right.
And I always thought of it like going to a restaurant and ordering the soup of the day. You're trusting the chef to give you the best thing in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But if the chef completely changes the underlying recipe overnight, shifting from 5.3 to 5.5, doesn't that completely fracture the customer's experience on the other end?
That vulnerability is exactly why the development world is kind of scrambling right now. Ordering the soup of the day in software architecture is a massive, often fatal risk.
Wow, really? Fatal.
Yeah, the Technugean analysis emphasizes that this release forces an entirely new, non-negotiable competency for developers, which is model version management.
Meaning you can no longer afford to just trust the chef. You have to start ordering exactly what you want down to the specific ingredients.
Because the ingredients dictate the logic, right? If your application relies on the ChatLatest string, it automatically ingested GPT 5.5 Instant last week. But 5.5 has a fundamentally different latent space than 5.3. Its probability distributions have changed, it reasons differently, and it structures its outputs differently.
So if my application is built to read a very specific format, like say a database, expecting a cleanly formatted list of dates and names the new 5.5 model might decide it prefers to write that data as a conversational paragraph.
Exactly.
And then my database won't know how to read it and the app crashes.
Yes, the output becomes entirely alien to your own internal systems. Prompts that yielded perfect structured data on Monday might produce unreadable chaos on Wednesday.
That sounds like a nightmare.
It is. This is why production applications must pin to specific model versions. Developers have to hard code their infrastructure to say, only use GPT 5.3 Instant.
But they can't use 5.3 forever, right?
No, they can't. OpenAI understands the friction here, so they've built in a 3-month transition window. The older 5.3 model remains active for paid API users for 90 days, before it is permanently retired.
Got it. So that gives teams 90 days to test the new model in a closed staging environment, rewrite their prompts to match its new behavior, and then manually flip the switch.
Yep.
That requires serious discipline, especially when three new models drop in a single week.
Without that discipline, your software is just built on shifting tectonic plates.
Okay, so we've established that the core text and reasoning engine, you know, the brain is vastly more capable. But a smarter text model is still just reading and writing.
Right.
A smarter AI brain is great. But what happens when you give that brain a voice that can actually think on its feet?
Now we're talking about the May 7th releases. That's when the real shockwave hit.
The GPT Real-Time 2 model.
Exactly. This is where we cross a threshold. Real-Time 2 brings true GPT-5-tier reasoning into a real-time speech-to-speech format.
Wow.
And it features highly controllable tone, pace, and emotional register.
I have to play skeptic here, though. I mean, we have all interacted with automated voice bots. They are universally terrible at multi-step tasks.
Oh.
Like, if I call my insurance company's bot and ask it to verify my coverage using three overlapping factors, my age, a specific pre-existing condition, and an out-of-network zip code, the bot almost always pauses for, like, 10 seconds of dead air.
Yeah, or it just traps you in an endless loop of, I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Exactly. So won't this new model just get confused or stuck in that same loop?
What's fascinating here is the underlying mechanism of why those older bots failed and how Real-Time 2 actually solves it.
Okay, how?
Well, older models were essentially text algorithms wearing an audio mask. When you spoke, the system had to record your voice, send it to a transcription model to turn it into text.
Right.
Then send that text to a reasoning model to generate a text reply, and then send that text to a text-to-speech synthesizer to finally read it out loud.
That is a massive pipeline. It's like playing a game of telephone with itself.
And every single step in that pipeline adds latency and degrades the context. Real-Time 2 eliminates the pipeline. It is a native speech-to-speech architecture.
Wait, really?
Yeah. It skips the text translation entirely and reasons about the audio data itself.
Wait, so it's not waiting for a transcript to read. It's actually processing the sound waves of my voice directly.
It was processing the raw audio. And because it possesses high-level reasoning, it can hold those complex variables, your age, condition, and location, in its working memory simultaneously.
That's incredible.
It really is. And if you sound confused, it detects the hesitation in your pitch and adapts its pacing. It asks clarifying questions using an empathetic tone that really bridges the gap between traditional AI and a human customer service rep.
That completely upends the customer service industry. I can see corporations looking at this and deciding to automate their entire call centers by the end of the year.
They might want to, but the economics present a massive hurdle. This capability operates on a premium token-based system.
How premium are we talking?
It costs $32 per million audio input tokens, and $64 per million audio output tokens.
Okay, let's clarify what an audio token actually is, because when people hear token, they usually think of text like a fraction of a word or a syllable. But if we aren't translating to text anymore, an audio token has to be something different.
It is. An audio token is a microscopic slice of temporal data. It's capturing milliseconds of sound, the frequency, the resonance, the pitch.
Which means it's digitizing everything.
Oh.
The dead air while I search for my account number, the background noise of traffic, my sigh of frustration. Every second of audio is consuming tokens.
It adds up at an astonishing rate. A $64 per million token output cost restricts Real-Time 2 strictly to high-value interactions.
Right.
You cannot financially justify using a premium reasoning model to take a simple lunch order or recite a business's mailing address.
You'd burn through your operating budget in a week. You have to reserve it for, like, the insurance intake call we talked about or a highly nuanced technical support scenario where the AI is walking a frustrated client through a server reboot.
Exactly. Places where deep emotional intelligence and complex logic are absolutely required to save a client relationship.
That immediately raises an operational question, though. If Real-Time 2 is the high-end, expensive thinker in the room, how do businesses handle high-volume, everyday communication? You know, the conversations that don't need deep emotional nuance but absolutely require speed.
That gap is filled by the other models released that same week. GPT Real-Time Translate and GPT Real-Time Whisper.
Okay, these two feel like the workhorses of the update. Real-time Translate handles live speech-to-speech translation across, what, over 70 input languages into 13 output languages?
Yep, that's right.
And then you have Real-time Whisper, which is a streaming speech-to-text model. And the word streaming seems to be the operative mechanism there. It's transcribing live as the person speaks rather than waiting for them to finish their sentence.
The mechanism is what changes the user experience entirely. Previous transcription models used batch processing. So you had to wait for a silent pause in the audio, package that entire chunk of sound, and then send it to the server. But Whisper processes a continuous pipeline of tiny audio packets.
It's the difference between watching a live sports broadcast versus waiting for the DVD box set to ship to your house.
That's a great way to put it.
In a live customer interaction, that zero latency streaming isn't just a bonus feature. The speed is what makes the product actually usable. If there's a 3-second delay on a phone call, humans naturally just start talking over each other.
Exactly. And the technician breakdown provides a brilliant real-world grounding for this, looking at businesses in their own backyard of Orange County.
Oh, right.
Consider a local medical practice serving a highly diverse demographic. Today, if a non-English-speaking patient calls to schedule a procedure, the front desk has to put them on hold to conference in a third-party interpretation service.
Yeah, or they have to retain bilingual staff specifically for those windows.
Both of which rely on rigid, hourly wage economics. You're paying for the interpreter's time whether they are translating complex medical terms or just listening to hold music.
Wow, yeah.
But by routing that call through the GPT Real-Time Translate API, the practice transforms its underlying cost structure. The translation happens instantly, keeping pace with the caller. And crucially, it is billed purely on per-minute API pricing.
So you only pay for the exact seconds when actual words are being processed. That is a profound shift for a small business's profit and loss margins. Swapping an inflexible per-hour operational cost for a hyper-efficient per-minute utility bill.
We see the same application in their example of an international real estate firm, where an agent can negotiate a property deal with an overseas buyer in real time.
With the system translating the conversation continuously.
Exactly. And from a development standpoint, integrating Whisper or Translate drastically simplifies the underlying architecture down to a single API call.
Wait, how does streaming simplify the build down to one call?
Well, under the old batch processing method, an engineer had to string together a fragile pipeline. You needed a module to detect human speech, another to record the audio chunk, another to send it, another to transcribe it, and a final model to clean up the text.
That's a lot of moving parts.
Now, it is just a single continuous API connection to OpenAI. You open the stream, you receive the text. The reduction in failure points is massive.
Okay, so the intelligence is sharper, the voice architecture is native and incredibly fast, and the translation barriers are basically gone. But we have to address the elephant in the room here.
The security.
Yes. Giving AI the ability to think, write code, and talk sounds amazing, but giving it the keys to the kingdom requires serious guardrails.
OpenAI is acutely aware of the risks, which is why, amidst all the excitement over the voice models, they quietly released a very sobering Codex security disclosure on May 8th.
This disclosure focused specifically on sandbox runtime access and permissions for AI development tools. And I want to make sure we define what that actually means.
That idea.
A sandbox is an isolated testing environment where code can run safely. But runtime access implies the AI is doing far more than just drafting text.
It implies autonomy. We have to stop treating AI like a magic text box where a human asks for a script, the AI types it out, and the human reviews it and copies it over.
Right.
Tools like Codex are autonomous agents. They write the code, they automatically execute it within the runtime environment, they observe the error logs, and they rewrite their own code to fix the bugs.
So it has its hands firmly on the steering wheel, it's actively running the software.
And if that agent has broad permissions, if it can modify a repository, which is the central hub where a company's entire software foundation lives, the risks scale exponentially.
Meaning the AI doesn't even have to be malicious to cause a disaster.
Exactly.
If it's just trying to optimize a piece of code and it has access to the master repository, it could accidentally overwrite a critical authentication protocol or, I don't know, expose a private database to the public internet just by making an architectural mistake.
This raises an important question, though. It's crucial to clarify, this wasn't a data breach. It was a vital operational warning.
Okay.
It dictates that AI development tools need the exact same rigid security controls, audit logging, and human code review processes as human developers. You do not give and in turn, unrestricted admin access to your core infrastructure, and you absolutely cannot give it to an AI agent.
Right.
Teams need to audit immediately what data their AI can see and whether every action it takes is being permanently logged.
But here's where it gets really interesting. We are talking about managing different versions of highly advanced reasoning models. We are talking about integrating native speech-to-speech systems and continuous translation streams.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about building comprehensive, airtight security infrastructure just to babysit the AI. How does a company afford all this without going bankrupt?
That leads us to the second essential competency that developers must master in this new era. We talked about model version management, but the second is pricing model literacy.
Pricing model literacy, because it's no longer just a flat monthly subscription, right?
Far from it. Look at the sheer variety of billing structures OpenAI unleashed in a single week. You have per token pricing for the heavy reasoning text models. You have the premium audio token cost we discussed for real-time too.
Which was the $64 per million output token.
Exactly. Then you have per minute pricing for the streaming voice translation models. And you have entirely separate per-second pricing for video generation and per-image pricing for graphical assets.
It's like navigating a commodities market where every single user action triggers a different microtransaction.
To build a sustainable application, an architect has to know exactly which pricing model to deploy for every specific feature. The Technigian analysis highlights a brilliant contrast here.
Okay, what is it?
Imagine you're building that customer service triage bot. If a developer simply chooses GPT Realtime Dash 2 for everything, just routing every single incoming call through that premium model, the bot will sound phenomenally empathetic.
But the server costs will bankrupt the project. It's using a sledgehammer to crack a peanut. You don't need deep emotional resonance just to ask someone for their account number.
Exactly. But a developer with high pricing model literacy looks at that same workflow and engineers a hybrid approach. For the initial information gathering, they paired GPT Real-Time Whisper to transcribe the caller's audio cheaply.
With a cheaper text model.
Yes, to figure out what the caller needs, and then they use a basic text-to-speech synthesizer to reply.
So they rebuild the older segmented pipeline, but they do it intentionally to save money on low-stakes interactions.
And the financial difference is staggering. The source metric shows that choosing Whisper paired with a cheaper text model versus defaulting to Real-Time 2 can represent a 5 to 10 times cost difference for the exact same workflow.
Wait, a 5 to 10 times cost reduction?
Yep.
That isn't just an IT budget issue. That is a fundamental competitive advantage. If a rival firm understands how to optimize these distinct pricing models and you don't, they can completely undercut your market pricing simply because their server overhead is a fraction of yours.
Which is why pricing model literacy is now a matter of corporate survival.
Wow. So what does this all mean? Zooming out from the token counts and the continuous streams and the version controls?
It means that voice AI is officially a mainstream 2026 roadmap priority. The experimental phase is over. We have the foundational architecture now.
Yeah.
But surviving this new era requires an intense level of operational discipline. A company must master model version management to ensure their apps don't randomly break overnight, and they must master intricate pricing literacy to ensure their brilliant new features don't bankrupt them.
It is a tremendous amount of structural change to process from a 4-day release window, and the reality is many development teams simply do not have the internal bandwidth to pause their current sprints to map out audio token expenditures and sandbox security audits.
When most of them really don't.
And it's worth noting that for teams overwhelmed by this cascade, Technigian actually offers rapid 5-day API capability assessments and integration services. They basically parachute in, evaluate your infrastructure, and map out the pricing and security guardrails for you.
Which is a huge relief for a lot of companies right now.
Absolutely. You can read through their full technical breakdowns at technigian.com/software development, or frankly, just call their Orange County office directly at 949-379-8500.
In an industry moving at this velocity, relying on experienced engineers who understand the hidden costs and the runtime vulnerabilities is just a highly strategic move.
It's the difference between building on bedrock and building on sand. Well, as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you with a thought to consider long after the audio stops.
Yeah.
We started this conversation by contrasting these massive AI leaps with the invisible, mundane software updates of the past, a slightly faster load time, a smoother scrolling animation. But look at what OpenAI just engineered into reality.
It's wild.
If an artificial intelligence can now genuinely reason and perfectly control its emotional register to sound deeply empathetic when you are frustrated, and if it can translate languages continuously in real time without a millisecond of latency, what happens to our societal perception of authenticity when we can no longer tell if the empathetic, helpful voice on the other end of the line is a fellow human being or just a brilliantly architected API call?
That is the profound philosophical question hiding underneath all of this code.
It really is. The invisible updates have finally made the machine indistinguishable from us. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the architecture of voice AI. Keep questioning the systems around you, keep learning, and we'll talk to you next time.